on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and there's been a lot of it made since our last show. I want to start again with the reversal of Roe v. Wade, the illegitimate reversal by an illegitimate court, in my opinion. I'll explain Roe v. Wade and its consequences. There's been a lot written about it over the weekend, a lot written about it starting Friday after our show last week. Let me tell you my view of it. I think it'll go down in history as the equivalent of the Dred Scott decision. The Dred Scott decision in the 1850s, leading up to the Civil War, held that a slave could not be free, basically, because of his race, and sent Dred Scott back into slavery, even after he had achieved freedom. People were disgusted with that. They were disgusted with the Supreme Court. They looked on the Supreme Court as having no legitimacy. And one thing led to another, and Abraham Lincoln got elected, thank God. The South seceded, and the rest is history. There have been some things said by Clarence Thomas that are deeply disturbing, even in the context of the Roe v. Wade reversal. I want to tell you what they are, and I want to tell you something else. When the Supreme Court takes a very, very dramatic step and reverses a long line of cases, normally it does it gingerly, at least diplomatically, without insult and taunting. This crowd just took an axe to it. Clarence Thomas said, after the decision, that he believes that the thinking that underlies the decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, which is an attack on the right to privacy, also is what underlies your right to buy contraceptives. In Griswold v. Connecticut, 60 years ago, it was illegal, if you were not married, to buy contraceptives in the state of Connecticut, believe it or not. The Supreme Court said that people have a right to privacy, and they overturned that state law. Texas had a law up until not too long ago, believe it or not, that regulated how you could have sex, even if you were married, even if you were an adult with another consenting adult. It had to be a position that Texas approved of. The Supreme Court said that restricting sexual activity between consenting adults is not the business of the state. It's based on the right to privacy, and they overturned it. Many states had laws against same-sex marriage. Supreme Court overturned those, said you have a right to privacy. What is the right to privacy? Louis Brandeis, considered one of the great Supreme Court justices when he was a lawyer, back in the 1880s, along with another scholar, wrote an article in the Harvard Law Review proposing a right to privacy. Now, you may think, come on, that goes without saying. I mean, you don't have a right to privacy in a communist country. They can break in and get you whenever they want. You don't have a right to privacy in Cuba, Venezuela. You don't have a right to privacy in North Korea or China. You don't have a right to privacy in Russia, which is fundamentally a communist state that's pretending to simply be a mafia state. You don't have a right to privacy in any jihadist country, jihadist culture, but you do in Western civilization, you especially do in the United States, until this decision. The right to privacy is really the right to be let alone. Now, you may think, well, that goes without saying. No, it does not go without saying. The vast majority of the people in this world do not have a right to be let alone. A right is only what you can enforce. You can say till you're blue in the face, along with Rousseau, who based it on Plato, that there's some sort of inalienable rights. Thomas Jefferson picked up it in the Constitution. All true, except that's no good unless you can enforce it. People in China and Russia and North Korea have inalienable rights, but they can't enforce them. It depends on enforcing them. And what happened with our Supreme Court is that it has really become an arm of the Republican Party. I mean, I've got to say that flat out. Take a look at the majority in the Roe v. Wade reversal. It wasn't 6-3, it was 5-4. Roberts, on the issue of reversing Roe v. Wade, opposed it, along with the three Democrats, so it was 5-4. What he went along with the majority was upholding the Mississippi law that put it at 15 weeks. Up till 15 weeks, it was legal. Roe v. Wade said 24 weeks, so he was willing to compromise, which I don't agree with. But it's a big difference between that and going, you're not going to have a right at all. You cannot, you do not have a right to be left alone. Now, what that means is, I mean, this is a very strange thing to say. It has nothing to do with abortion. But let's say you had a really, really controlling autocratic boss who had a small company, didn't have any federal funding. And he said, if any of my employees read any literature from the 19th century, I'm going to fire them. You don't have a right to privacy. Now, most bosses don't do that because in the marketplace, they'd lose good people and so forth. But how much control do you want a controlling boss to have over you? How much control do you want them to have over your body? Suppose the boss said anybody who has an abortion is fired. Supreme Court says that's fine. Let me tell you another very ugly, strange little fact. If the Supreme Court said that men couldn't have vasectomies, what do you think would happen? The MAGA crowd, everybody, the next time they saw a state legislature, would grab them by the scruff of the neck, and they would change their opinions pretty quick. Let's be very blunt about that. Let's be very blunt about that. What we have is simply, and part of this is, frankly, the Democratic Party has become very passive-aggressive, a lot of speeches, but there isn't the kind of aggressiveness in the Democratic Party that it had historically. It simply isn't. And the people being elected to Congress and the Senate, and to a lot of, they're very fine people, they're very passive-aggressive people, and people will say things like, well, we must overturn this, or we must defeat this. If this was a law preventing vasectomies, you wouldn't use that kind of word. You just overturn it. You just overturn it. Now, let me give you some of the proposals on how to combat it, which I think are ineffective. Ineffective. Because those five justices, remember, it's only five justices, not six. It was 5-4 who overturned Roe v. Wade. One of them, Amy Coney Barrett, was kind of speed dialed in the lame duck after Trump had lost, was appointed by a losing president in a couple of weeks, voted on by some senators who were retiring and wouldn't be around very long or were beaten. That's not legitimate. At the same time, when Barack Obama had a vacancy, the Republicans wouldn't bring it to a vote for a year. The Supreme Court exists on legitimacy and authenticity. It has no army. And when it loses that, and it has lost this in this case, this is the new Dred Scott decision. I don't want to see the consequences being internal, more internal discord and violence. We don't want violence. But here's what's happened. Doctors are confused. States have different laws all around the country. In Oklahoma now, any abortion, even 10 minutes after you learn you're pregnant, is illegal. Well, you don't learn 10 minutes after you're pregnant, okay? In Louisiana, state court stayed the law. So in Louisiana, it's still legal. In Michigan, it's been stayed. OBGYNs, who already pay an awful lot in insurance premiums, don't know what to do. What happens if a woman has an ectopic pregnancy where where it's outside the womb? That can kill her, but Oklahoma does not have an exception for the life of the mother. Now, any doctor worth his salt is going to save the mother, obviously. But he could get arrested if he does it in some county in Oklahoma where the guy wants to be governor, and then he's going to be tied up in legal proceedings, handcuffed and arrested. That sort of thing is playing out all around the country. And the Supreme Court took none of this into account because the Supreme Court has now become an arm of the Republican Party. Pure and simple. You heard it here. It is true. Some prosecutors say we won't prosecute. For instance, in Dane County and Milwaukee County, Josh Call, John Chisholm. That's great, but that isn't all 72 counties. And I'm going to address that after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. So let's dance. Let's dance. Let's dance. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to get back to this reversal of Roe v. Wade. By a 5-4 majority, not a 6-3. John Roberts, when it came to reversing Roe v. Wade, sided with the Democrats. Where he went the other way was on the Mississippi law, which did not reverse Roe v. Wade. It simply limited abortions to the first 15 weeks and the life of the mother. And by the way, most of the European countries, including Scandinavia, the most liberal European countries have some restrictions on abortion. We're not talking about that kind of thing. What we're talking about is eliminated without caring about the life of the mother, even. Oklahoma, who do they think they are? Who do they think they are? Who do they think they are? Let me tell you something about a few remaining issues. When it came to Roe v. Wade, everybody said, oh, it's flawed, you know, There are problems with it and the right. Well, no, there are no problems, and there's no problems with the right to privacy. The difference between our country and a communist or a jihadist or a mafia country, which are most of the rest of the world, is we have a right to privacy. They can't just knock on your door and drag you out. They can't summon you down to the police station. Can't do any of that. They should not be able to tell you how to control your body. So anyway, let me tell you a misconception I had that was a real revelation to me. When Roe v. Wade was passed in the early 70s, it was Harry Blackmun wrote the opinion, and he had been the lawyer for the Mayo Clinic. And I just figured, okay, well, Harry Blackmun, you know, the Mayo Clinic, it's a bunch of doctors, and so probably he kind of maneuvered things to write the opinion. Then I heard a lecture a couple of years ago by a legal scholar, professor at the University of Chicago, who had been a law clerk to one of the justices during that decision in the early 70s. And here's what he said. The Supreme Court, and we knew this, does a straw vote right after the oral argument. And they did that on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, where I clerked for Judge Tom Fairchild in Chicago. And then somebody's assigned to write the opinion, and after they research it, that vote can change. The initial vote on Roe v. Wade right after the oral argument in the early 70s was 9-0 against the right to abortion. 9-0. Harry Blackmun was not pushing anything. They assigned it to him to write because he'd been the lawyer for the Mayo Clinic. So he went up to Rochester, Minnesota. He was from Minnesota anyway, for much of the summer, in their library to research the issue of abortion. And what he found amazed even him. It showed that whether or not there is a right to abortion, there will still be many abortions. It's just that the others will be amateur abortions. Somebody's college roommate will do it. Somebody's buddy will do it. Somebody's friend will do it. Somebody will do it to themselves. And when you have an amateur doing it, first, the woman can die. Secondly, if she doesn't die, she can get infections. And third, it can prevent her from ever having kids again. So he read that and he thought, whatever we decide, there will still be abortions, and a lot of them. And they'll be grisly, very grisly. When he went back and told people that, they had an epiphany, and I did too when I heard this. And it is this. We always say you've got to be able to trust a woman to make the decision. And I believe that. You've got to trust people to make decisions about their own bodies. But when it's brought out as starkly as that, that whether or not something is lawful, a woman is driven to that kind of a decision the way a man can't understand because a man is not a woman, that's got to be respected. That's got to be respected. That's got to be respected. Even in addition to what I said before, that if this were a vasectomy, we wouldn't even be having this debate. Some of these guys would be grabbed by the throat at a barbecue. I'm not kidding me. And say, you got till tomorrow, Jack, to reverse this. That's what would happen. That's not happening now because we have too many passive aggressive people in politics. Okay. I mean, I'm telling the truth. So if there are going to be a lot of abortions anyway, and the question is, are they going to kill the woman, injure the woman, result in infections or infertility or not? That's the decision people have to make. The Republican Party hasn't really thought about this at all. Who in the Oklahoma legislature could pass a law right after this reversal that says that you can't have any abortions once you know you're pregnant and you're presumed to know it when the egg is fertilized? Well, come on. Come on. And there's no exception for the life of the women. And most of them couldn't spell ectopic pregnancy. And most of them, you know, they didn't ask for any OBGYNs to come in and say, hey, guys, what am I supposed to do? I'm taking care of a woman, and I know she may die. She'll certainly be gravely ill. And you know what they'll say? They'll punt, and they'll say, well, you know, do what you think you should do. Here's the other problem. Even when it's life of the mother, some states require a verification by another doctor, like two or three of them. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. If somebody is a doctor in good standing, their decisions should be final with respect to their patient. We have free market medical care. People go to doctors they trust. Now, here's how some people, for instance, in Wisconsin, are proposing to handle this. I think this is insufficient. Tony Evers will say, well, I'll grant the doctor clemency. Well, wait a minute. Clemency. Okay, so the doctor is what? He's convicted of a felony, and then you, what, pardon him? He has to hire a defense lawyer? You give him clemency afterwards? Okay, suppose you change that phraseology and say that you give him advanced pardons. You do blanket pardons for every MD in the state, and every registered nurse and nurse practitioner, any nurse in the state. That will be litigated as being overbroad. Let's say you win. It's going to go up to Republican judges on the Supreme Court. Sometimes when you have things like, well, any felon can now vote, they say that's too broad. Why are we having this discussion, frankly? I mean, why are we talking about clemency? Yeah, it's a gesture of good faith. I get it. But it's insufficient. No doctor wants to be charged with a felony, even if the governor says, all right, I give you clemency or pardon. Nobody wants that. Secondly, some DAs, like we have really a great DA in Milwaukee County, John Chisholm, one of the best in the country, actually. And then our attorney general and other DAs, the Madison DA, will go, we won't prosecute them. Okay, well, There's a provision which you may not be aware of that if a DA refuses to prosecute, a judge can order the prosecution with a special counsel. Republican judges will do that. So it's not sufficient that the DAs, it's great, but it's not sufficient that the DAs won't prosecute. These are all attempts. Other people say, well, why doesn't the government open up abortion clinics on federal lands or in Indian reservations? That's not worth it either. Any doctor that performed an abortion against the law on a federal land or an Indian reservation, some states will still be prosecuted. You'll go up on separation of federal and state functions. You might win, you might lose, but the doctor can lose his medical license in that state. So that's insufficient. The only way that this is going to be changed is if, and remember, the Supreme Court left it up to the states. They didn't say there can't be abortion. Is that a federal law pass that encapsulizes Roe v. Wade? I mean, that's what it's going to take. And I would impeach some of these federal judges. And if you don't know the votes, some of these Supreme Court justices, we're going to have to change the Supreme Court and reverse this, and hopefully in the not too distant future. There's simply not been enough thought given to the consequences, unexplained consequences of this decision. Going to break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. There's a fight going on right now nationally for the soul of America, our democracy, but I'm going to tell you how it's playing out in different states with people running, in many cases nominated as Republicans, who would overturn elections and would be crooked in counting the votes. As concerned the donors in the Democratic Party enough that there's been a summit with the top 30 donors and targeting not just sexy races like U.S. Senate and governor, but things like Secretary of State and election officials, because here's the reality of what's happening. There are 27 Secretary of State seats up this year, 27 out of 50 states. Pennsylvania has an odd law where the governor appoints the Secretary of State. And the Republican nominee for governor of Pennsylvania who will appoint their Secretary of State is a guy named Mastriano, who is a Trumper and a QAnon guy. He has been sympathetic to everything on the Trump side. He said that falsely that the election was rigged, and he would not permit it to happen again. And so he will appoint a Secretary of State who's a mini-me of Mastriano. It'd be as if somebody like Voss, or actually like Mike Lindell, the Pillow Man, with the governor of California, and he appointed Gableman as the Secretary of State. I mean, that's literally what's going on out there. Trump has endorsed Secretary of State candidates in Ohio, Michigan, Arizona, and he endorsed Mastriano in Pennsylvania. His pick won in Ohio. It lost in Georgia to Raffensperger. In Michigan, the Republican Party has effectively named a conspiracy MAGA Trump candidate as their Secretary of State candidate. And there are 13 of these Secretary of State hopefuls out of 27. That's almost half of them who belong to the New America Coalition. What is that? This is the coalition that says that elections are rigged, including the 2020. They will eliminate mail-in ballots. Some won't count them. And if you add Mastriano to that, because he's going to appoint the Secretary of State in Pennsylvania, that's 14 of them. They won primaries in New Mexico and Nevada. They lost in Nebraska, Idaho, Georgia, South Carolina. But there are a big present. Now, remember something. Said this before. It's very, very important. Joseph Stalin was one of the greatest, worst. When I say greatest, I don't mean good. I mean most extreme, vicious mass murderers in history. killed more than 20 million people. And he once said, it doesn't matter who the people vote for. What matters is who counts the votes. For instance, in Putin's Russia, if somebody runs against him, Putin gets 90% of the vote. Because people are beaten and threatened at the polls if they vote and they're not authorized by Putin. Lukashenko in Belarus, who is essentially a slave to Putin, lost massively and then just recounted the vote and put himself in. That's what's going to happen in the United States if we are not careful. Trump has also endorsed about 200 candidates for Senate, House, and other down ballot positions, and some of them do have an impact on counting the votes. The Senate and the House, for instance, if something like they tried with Pence were to happen again in 2024, in other words, Trump or another Republican loses by 7 million popular votes and 30 or 40 electoral votes, and it's thrown into the Senate or the House, they can vote not to accept it. Now, any Supreme Court that was at all fair would say, we have a 200-year tradition in this country of presidential elections. And the fact that George Washington was made president in 1788, for Pete's sake, isn't what controls in 2024. But they won't say that. Look what they did on Roe v. Wade. So it's important who's in the Senate and in the House, but it's really important who is Secretary of State. Go to the lines. David of California, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, David?
Hey, morning, man. Yeah, you're familiar with the social contract, right? And
are you talking about Rousseau, or what are you talking about?
Yeah, and all the way back there, where they figured out that the king pretended to be put in charge by God, and he was going to run our lives, and we didn't even have a say about how our lives were run. The king was going to do it. And the social contract was when they figured out how to say, wait a minute, if God puts you in charge, we're not here to be beaten by you. You're supposed to look out for every sparrow that falls, not whip us and send us to war. And so the social contract was so many different layers of our lives, the economy, the fresh water, the access to food, the basics of life were being mismanaged by a jerk at the top, and that we, the people, have the right to pick our own leaders. So that's the social contract. And the idea that these merchants in the temple is in the Supreme Court right now, or these oligarchs in Russia decide to run our lives as if we don't even have a say about whether or not we can live or die. That's preposterous. We don't need to believe this BS. And the oligarchs in Russia, they don't even pretend that God put them in charge. They just say, I got so many numbers that you got to believe me. And I've got a bully boy here as an army to strong arm you into accession. We've got to look at the social contract for...
I like your comments, David. They're very insightful. And just a little background to people out there. Rousseau was an 18th century political philosopher, one of the most influential in history. And he was really one of the greatest writers of the Enlightenment. And you've heard of the Enlightenment. They call it the French Enlightenment. And it was driven by Rousseau and, to some extent, Voltaire. But there was also a German Enlightenment with Kant, and they had a more enlightened king. And then there was something of an English Enlightenment, less influential, with Locke. But one of the things, and David is right on the money about this, people suddenly woke up and said, hey, wait a minute. What's this divine right of kings business? Who are you? Who said that you should do whatever you want and abuse us? And you may think nowadays that that's, well, duh. Well, no. That ruled for a long, long time, hundreds of years, thousands of years. And that people woke up. One thing that David had not gotten to, but I will say this, is the social contract and the Enlightenment and things like liberal democracy and freedoms like due process, equal protection, freedom of speech, separation of church and state are all essential to human dignity, but they're not self-enforcing. You have to enforce those. You have to enforce them. And they can't be enforced in Russia, China, North Korea, jihadist societies. They're enforced in Western civilization. And it started, when you talk about enforcement, with George Washington. The founding fathers were creatures of the Enlightenment. And they said, yeah, we agree with Voltaire and Rousseau and Kant and the rest of them. Locke. We agree with that. And the other side laughed, said, okay, good luck. Bend over. Well, no, they didn't. You know what happened? A bunch of farmers at Lexington and Concord is what happened. The British came marching down. Actually, they were mercenaries, Hessians. These were farmers, but they had their muskets. They went out there and popped them. There was a Boston Tea Party, the Boston Massacre, and then there was the Revolutionary War. That's what enforced the Enlightenment. That triggered the French Revolution. The French Revolution came after our revolution, not before. Not before. We were the beacon to the entire world to enforce the Enlightenment. And that is slipping back right now with this Supreme Court. And one of the things is, remember something, you never voted for a Supreme Court justice nationally because they're not up for a vote. What they are is they're appointed with the advice and consent of the Senate. And Moscow Mitch got rid of the filibuster when he had power to ram through Trump's picks. And we're agonizing, oh, should we get rid of the filibuster for the Voting Rights Act and to, say, federalize Roe v. Wade or any of that, or some get rid of AR-15s? And everybody goes, oh, no, we can't get rid of the filibuster. They got rid of the filibuster. The other side got rid of the filibuster. They do it step by step. They do it for Supreme Court justices. They do it for cabinet appointments. They will get rid of it whenever it suits their purpose, and then they'll cry and scream when, what, we do it so we don't do it? We are passive-aggressive. We are passive-aggressive. There is no aggression left in the Democratic Party. But to pick up on David of California said, George Washington and our forefathers enforced the Enlightenment. Now it's being stripped away from us. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? This Supreme Court has betrayed the country, in my view. This Supreme Court has simply used its appointed position to be autocratic. That can't happen. The problem is they're supported by the Republican Party because they are part of the Republican Party. So you say, okay, Ron Johnson, what do you think about that? He says, I support that. Okay, the Duchess of Foxconn, Rebecca Clayfish, what do you think about that, Duchess? Oh, I support that. So does Tim Michaels. So does, Ramtin, my God almighty. Absolutely he would. Nicholson, same thing. Moscow Mitch, Kevin McCarthy, all of them. The only ones who stand tall, at least on voting rights, or Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. So there's a lot of things discussed. Do we add more Supreme Court justices? The problem with that is if we ram that through, you've got to eliminate the filibuster, and Manchin and Sinema won't do that. So you can't pack this court right now. Do you have Biden do things by executive action? How about somebody speaking as bluntly as I'm speaking right now and doing it nationally? How about that? How about that? Saying the Supreme Court is illegitimate. How about that? When was the last time you heard anybody say that? Party has lost its aggressiveness. As a result, you have Roe v. Wade overturned. You may have other things overturned. Clarence Thomas says you're going to have Griswold v. Connecticut. Contraceptives, you're going to have other things. I don't think it's going to get to that right away, but we're coming down that path. It's a slippery slope, and we are frankly undoing what our forefathers did in the revolution. And we are backsliding. I want Rousseau and Voltaire and Kant and Locke and the writers of the Enlightenment pointed out, which is very basic. Nobody has the right, the divine right, to tell us what to do. We have to elect them. And if we're going to let them be appointed, they have to be in good faith. Okay? It makes sense to have an appointed judiciary. But they have to be in good faith. They can't be an arm of one party. Go to break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. Well, a surprise development. Surprise development. The January 6th commission had said they were going to recess and have their next appointment, their next hearing in the middle of July, so they can take a July 4th break. They always do. Let their members go home and campaign. There was an election in November. They just announced that they are going to have another hearing today, as we speak, at noon, our time, Wisconsin time. Be sure to listen in. And they're going to have a mystery witness, and some new evidence. We have sleuthed around and sniffed around, and we have discovered who the mystery witness is, and I'll disclose it right now. It is Cassidy Hutchinson. Who is Cassidy Hutchinson? Cassidy Hutchinson was a top advisor to Mark Meadows, the chief of staff to Trump. You've already seen some of her testimony in the prior hearings. She's the one who disclosed which of these pitiful Republican congressmen begged for a pardon. But she had a lot more to say. And now, after negotiations with her lawyers, because she does not want to go to the slammer, she will testify, and she's going to testify about Mark Meadows, her boss, and what he did with Trump. It's going to be very interesting. She's already testified that he burned documents. He burned documents. Can you imagine that? He burned documents. That, you know, when you burn documents that are secret or subject to protection, it's a felony. But even if it's not subject to protection, if you did it to avoid criminal prosecution, that is something that can get you indicted. This is going to be essential testimony. Cassidy Hutchinson. Lines are lighting up. We're going to the lines. We're going to start in order with Rick of DeForest, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Rick of DeForest?
Morning, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. I was calling in. I'm just a theory here. But doesn't this ruling on Roe versus Wade that mean that unless there is a specific castle doctrine law in place, the right to
You're breaking up a little, Rick. Could you say that again?
Doesn't this mean that unless there is a specific castle law kind of thing in place, that the claiming self-defense is illegitimate and a, what's his name in Florida that killed the kid?
Yeah, well, the Castle Law is different from Roe v. Wade. The Castle Law is a law, it's a bad thing, that basically says you can stand your ground. The common law had said, and prior statutes had said, that if you have an obligation to try to avoid a confrontation, so if somebody attacks you and you can withdraw, just withdraw. The Castle Law says you can stand there. The thing in Florida was a travesty, disgusting. A guy went up to a black kid and attacked him. The kid defended himself. Then the guy shot the black kid, said he was defending himself against the black kid who was defending himself. And the Cretan jury, the imbeciles and judge and the whole crowd there let the guy off. That has nothing to do with abortion. It has nothing to do with Roe v. Wade. What it does have to do with is that's a state law, that's the kind of thing that's left up to the states. But Roe v. Wade obviously was different. That was one where they said there was no right to privacy, and that the sad consequences of that, the sad consequences of no right to privacy, are quite simply that was the underpinning, the right to privacy, of the Supreme Court opinion that lets you buy contraceptives. in Connecticut in the early 60s, unless you were a married heterosexual couple, you couldn't get contraception. And, my God, I mean, that, and now everybody takes it for granted. You can go in, you can buy condoms, you can buy birth control pills. You're going to be telling every single person in the country that they can't buy contraceptives. I do not think the Supreme Court will go that far, but Clarence Thomas has already said he's going to call for that. So that's 1/9 of this court. Okay. I mean, it's 1/9. The other one is a Texas law is even more weird. And it said there are only certain kinds of sexual activity and positions you could engage in there, even if you were a married couple. And who are they? I mean, quite seriously, who the heck do they think they are, quite frankly? And that got overturned by the Supreme Court. Many people had laws against same-sex marriage. That got overturned. If you take away the right to privacy, what Clarence Thomas has said is you overturn all of that. Well, I don't think at some point, where does this stop? And not only that, the other justices have signaled, well, we're not going to go that far, but how do I know their successors won't go that far once they have the precedent of this overturn of Roe v. Wade? And you're going to have more and more people like Clarence Thomas up there. So that is the concern. So the Castle Doctrine, I disagree with the Castle Doctrine. It resulted in a travesty by an utterly incompetent jury and an utterly incompetent judge in Florida. That's the subject for a different discussion. Getting back to the January 6th commission today, Cassidy Hutchinson will testify, and she was a top advisor to Mark Meadows. Now, Mark Meadows, I still can't figure the guy out in this respect. He gets a subpoena, and he complies. He says, yeah, I'm going to testify. I don't want to be like Navarro and Bannon and go to jail for contempt. And by the way, here's a ton of emails. And those emails came out. We've discussed them in prior shows. I mean, in those emails, you had people emailing Meadows and Trump the day of the insurrection saying, you got to call it off. That was Sean Hannity, folks. That was Don Trump Jr. That was Kevin McCarthy. That was Laura Ingraham. They all said it. Then they all denied it later. But then he went cold, you know, Trump threatened him. And he got scared. He got scared when Trump threatened him. He said, I'm not going to cooperate anymore. Well, you can't, if you cooperate halfway, that's the worst thing. If he were smart, he would have said, I'm going to cooperate or not, and then do it. But not go halfway. I mean, literally not go halfway. Because, first of all, that can be deemed a waiver of any rights you have. They are being soft on him because he's a prior member of Congress. And they don't like to really go after and zing their congressional colleagues. Okay, we're going to the lines. We don't have much time. East Side Dave, my friend, thanks for, we have a minute. So spit it out, East Side Dave. Dave, you're not coming through. I think what I would suggest is stay on the line and we'll go back to you right after the break. The lines are open and a couple of other people were on the lines. Do not hang up or call back in. But remember this, listen today to the January 6th commission hearing at noon. You'll hear Cassidy Hutchinson. Some people say it's a mystery person. There's nothing mysterious about her. She's already testified. This is going to be blistering testimony. We're going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter.